Spirit Unleashed, an assignment I really do like. I didn't like it at first. I feel like I don't speak enough about the Holy Spirit and got some assigned topics. And by the fourth weekend, was so glad that was my assignment. Join me in your Bibles, please, in John chapter 14. And we'll look now. Some of the others had assignments related to this whole context, John 14 and 13 through 17, and I'm looking right at John 14. Spirit Unleashed, and it's especially tonight, unleash the spirit of help. Unleash implies, you guys, unleash implies you have a part in this. So a lot of what I say for me, and now for you, is what is our part? What are we going to do about this? Because it takes two of us to do this together. But it's a great time, I think, looking at these texts to re-up and say, I want to continue with this. Whether you're discouraged or feeling like you're doing it perfectly or halfway, re-up. And re-up to the assignment of living like this. Christians cannot live like this any longer. The ones who do fall somewhere or just always struggle. We live like this with Christ, with His Holy Spirit indeed. It's a combination life. Call it that, the living in combination. And as Jesus is leaving, as we've seen from the others, he's saying to them, here's what I'm going to need you to do, or here's what I'm going to do for you is more like it. But implied is what all of us are to do. You know that. And it's very clear. John chapter 14, verse 15. I'm going to major on two verses, actually one, and stay right here. I get to do that. If you love me, you will keep my commands. Verse 16. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever. You might have another paraclete or another advocate, another friend. Verse 17, He is the Spirit of truth. The world is unable, this is an interesting verse, unable to receive Him because it doesn't see Him or know Him. But you do know Him because He remains with you and will be in you. Whoa. Verse 18, I will not leave you as orphans. I am coming to you. I love Christ. You do too. I talk about Him like you do from the Gospels, especially with almost ease. The Holy Spirit, as a child, that was spooky to me. I remember watching a guy on television, and this wasn't as a child, this was 16 months ago, blow the Holy Spirit away, or blow the spirit of COVID away. And he did it, and I won't say who it was, but it was from Texas. And he was J-A-R-B-C. No, he wasn't. But I grew up with a guy that spoke and was popular in our area who talked about the Holy Ghost. Scared me to death. I didn't go hear him all the time. He was JRB. No, he wasn't. But the Holy Spirit to people in our pews is a mystery they don't even want to investigate. You know that's true. And sometimes it's been my fault the way I spoke of Him. So unleash the spirit of help. I want to make, on the way over, I took a picture. We live right around the Lake Michigan on the other side, and I saw this going, and I thought, Mike will want that picture for all his friends. They're both Cals, you know that. Just so you know, I'm married 59 years. They're both Janine. I got scared when I thought, why did we put two of those on? She's a nice lady. I told her she didn't have to listen tonight, even though we're live streaming. but I hope she's listening. I love you, Janine. You should be listening. What does a pastor's wife do except listen to him? Well, let me talk about a moment about Jesus, because I think the trick, and it's not a trick, but the goal of life in church is not to major on the Holy Spirit, but to major on Jesus Christ, who is one of us. The big deal in the Bible, you know it. It's God created the heavens and the earth. He chases the Jews. He chooses them first, chases them for a long, long time. They always say, no way, go away. Like people in our churches and like some of us at times, all of us. He remains silent for 400 years. 400 years, he doesn't say a word. And then that's interrupted by the gentle knocking on a door of an inn in Bethlehem by a guy named Joseph. Do you have room? My wife to be is to have a baby. The great event of the Bible, creation. No, salvation. No, both. Two things you can't talk about in some schools. The two greatest works of anyone in the entire universe, creation and salvation. The Bible begins, in the beginning God made the heavens and the earth. Any questions? And the Bible adds, and the Word, the eternal expression of God, the Son, became flesh and dwelt among us and could have lived right here in Schaumburg and loved and walked. When Jesus went to school, if he went in the swim class, he didn't walk on water. He learned to swim. I think some people think Jesus was always showing his deity. When he was on the soccer team, I have this on good record from Josephus. Always quote Josephus if you're not sure if it's true or not. Nobody reads Josephus. When he was on the soccer team, they didn't say, well, we're down 7-0. Put Jesus in. We won 8-7. He got it. When he fell, he skinned his knee. When Jesus worked in the carpenter shop for his foster father, Joseph, he didn't wait till everybody left the room and say, let there be a cupboard. No, he sawed the wood and hammered. If he were a pastor, he didn't stand up and just talk. He studied. He knew the Old Testament. Hello. He was one of us. And it's very important, and it's all good. And nobody you ever talked to, wherever you live, said, well, I just don't like Jesus. And that's why we need to center our conversation on Jesus. But it's also why we need to understand the Holy Spirit in the light of Jesus. Please do. God gives us His Spirit. I like to write a sermon in one sentence, three parts to the sentence, verse 16. And I will ask the Father, and He will give you another Counselor to be with you forever. It's the Trinity's desire to give us the Holy Spirit. So we now know how significant and important this is, of course. I don't think, and I don't want to be facetious about the Trinity. We sing holy, holy, holy. But I don't think they had any trouble deciding how this was going to work, and that the Son would come and live this life. And that the plan was the Son would leave, and as was already said from up front, it would be better, hello, better if the Holy Spirit would come. If for no other reason, it would be better because now everybody in the room can have the Holy Spirit and everybody in the world who believes. So the Trinity's desire was to help us in our journey. If you walk alone, and many times as a pastor, I walked alone too much, and it wasn't magic what it meant to live like this. It was prayer and obedience. But that's why he was leaving the Spirit, that we would live that way, and the Spirit would be a gift. Don't miss the little words here. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another Counselor to be with you forever. I take that to be for the disciples, and by transition, for everyone in this room. Now, I grew up, in a wonderful church, but at times the legalism haunted us. I had a Sunday school teacher that told me in third grade, honest, I'm not exaggerating, and I will always tell you when I exaggerate. She told us, if you're in a movie when Jesus comes, you won't go to heaven. I came out of King Kong scared to death, looking to my left and right to see if Tim LaHaye were there or Jerry Jenkins, interviewing people, scared to death. And then I remember in third grade even thinking, if I go to hell because of that, it wasn't worth it. It wasn't that good a movie. That same teacher told me if I were in a dance when Jesus came, I wouldn't go to heaven. The gift, that's what he's saying here. It's not about what we do. You know that. Don't ever stop emphasizing the gift of grace. I will give you another counselor. We need to talk about what happened on that cross. It was a gift. It was the greatest gift that was ever given, the gift of God's Son. But when we believe in Him and believe who He is and what He's doing there, His death for us counts for us. How many people in your church have said at times, I guess I'm being punished for my sins? Nonsense. The punishment for sins is what Jesus took on the cross. Hell, 3 hours more. Separation from God. My God, why have you forsaken me? Because George Gunn's and Knut Larson's sins were being on his back at that moment and were paid for. Tomorrow's also. Don't run with that, but believe it. And when you put your faith in Christ, our people need to know this. That counts for you for the rest of your eternity. And what's more, you don't go to heaven with a zero. His righteousness covers you when you believe in Christ. Romans 4:1, our faith is counted as righteousness. That's like this carpet is counted as gold. Our faith is counted as righteousness because it brings the righteousness of Christ as our covering. Then live this way. And that way is in combination with Christ, and maybe better in this context and all through the Bible, it's in context that we live in combination with the Holy Spirit of God. Is that you? Can your husband tell and your wife and your people? When you're angry in the pulpit, do they know this is Spirit-filling? The issue of life for us is first our own walk in combination to live in Christ or in His Spirit, whichever way. But He likes us to say in Christ. Paul in Ephesians labors the point, I think at 13 times he says, you're in Christ, and Christ in you. In Colossians, the hope of glory, Christ in you. Do you believe that? Do you treat your wife that way and your husband and your people? It's a gift, and the gift has purpose. Verse 16, I will ask the Father, and He will give you another counselor to be with you forever. Whoa. He is the Spirit of truth. I want to major on something. He will give you another counselor. When I first read that, even at my age and knowing this was coming up, I thought, okay, another counselor. And then I did what you would do and did the research. When Christ died with all of our sins and to give us His righteousness and the great gift of eternal life, He also promised that He would give the Spirit. For them, it was going to be a little while, Pentecost. For us, we believe at the moment of trust and faith. Whatever the people in your church look like, whatever they do when they come to church, they need to understand what it means to be in Christ, to paraclete us. Okay, I don't ever use the word paraclete. It'd be a great name for a wife or a husband, but it just doesn't sound like a sweet word, but it is. You know it, para alongside, called alongside, somebody to walk alongside you. You take your father's arm when you got married, you walk down the aisle. You take your husband's hand, you take your wife's hand when you walk in the woods and have just the time together, and you treasure that. This is a paraclete. This is the person who walks alongside you. This is not spooky. This is Jesus in us, if you want to say it that way. Be careful as you say it to the unbeliever. He doesn't want to get cliches. I do not show off my Greek, Hebrew. I wouldn't have much to show off. I made a mistake. When I finally learned Hebrew, I began reading Greek from right to left, and it was a problem because, and those of you who aren't laughing don't know that you read Greek from left to right. But another counselor, another paraclete, is another of the same kind. Jesus is like the Holy Spirit, or rather, in this case, this another paraclete to walk with us would be like Jesus was walking with us, and nobody should be scared about that. I don't think there was a soul among the disciples, except when they betrayed him or denied him, that thought it was spooky to walk with Jesus. Take away a little of the mystery of the Holy Spirit in this text, and I think confidently and in a good way, he's another of the same kind, the same joy and correction and help that they got when they walked with Jesus would now happen to them as they walked in the Spirit. Do you believe that? Jesus was, he walked on water and raised the dead, but yes, he also went fishing and worked as a carpenter. He was a friend of sinners. Jesus loved people of all sizes and shapes. The lepers had a saying among them, "He's one of us," not because he healed them all, but because he loved them all and he touched them. He had friends who were women, and it was all perfectly righteous. He had good friends that were very close, like Lazarus. This is what Jesus was, and this is what would happen. I know we talk about his Sermon on the Mount and his miracles and his resurrection and ascension, and we should, but we should also talk about his carpentry and that he sanctified all of life. I remember right down here, I was talking with a guy after the service one time. It was in the chapel in Akron. And I said to him, ask him if he would, I was glad to see him. I said, I wanted to ask you to do a favor to become a director of something in the church, a volunteer ministry. He said, I can't do that. I'm just a carpenter. I asked him, do you know any carpenters in the Bible? And at first, he didn't know what I meant. Hello, Jesus in those years. How many years? I'm not sure. But again, he worked with his hands. All the best of life is what he obeyed his parents. He was all of this to these people. And I need to see the Holy Spirit as the same kind of friend. Now, at the risk of somebody who teaches Greek telling me that was too much on paraclete, I'm going to do it anyway. Think about, and some of your translations have other translations, paraclete, one who walks alongside you. The scholars I read said, we don't know quite how to translate that because it's not an English word. So in many of the Bibles, probably the majority here, he's an advocate. We have an advocate. I will give you another advocate. Was Jesus an advocate? You bet. If you were going to court, it would be nice to say, and here's my lawyer, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Fact is, one of his best friends, probably his best friend, said one day, we have an advocate in heaven, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is our advocate. In other words, when you sin, when I sin, we have an advocate who says, I got this one. I died for that. The Holy Spirit is our advocate, so don't be afraid of him. One time Peter was told by Jesus, Satan has desired to really take you on. but I have prayed for you. That's Jesus, the advocate. I think the Holy Spirit that does that for you tonight and tomorrow. Another word, I like this one too, and some of your Bibles have it. He's our comforter. The Holy Spirit would be a comforter. That means somebody who puts his arm around you and says, I understand. You know, Saturday I went back to Akron for one of two friends that I said I would and asked permission, who died of COVID at age 64. Comforter. How do you get that? Well, you look at the verses and you believe the Holy Spirit who puts his arm around you. A very strong Christian writer once, Joseph Bailey, told me that at the loss of his three sons, one by cancer, one by a sledding accident, and one by a mountain climbing accident, nobody helped him with any trick verses. He said, the people who helped me put their arm around me and cried. The Holy Spirit is your comforter. Jesus did that. Don't ever make fun of the short verse, Jesus wept. It's one of the most beautiful in the Bible. He cried because Mary and Martha were crying. He was going to raise their brother. He knew that. Maybe he was just sad over the whole issue of death, but he was a comforter for them. Another translation is a counselor. Hello, he's our counselor. He wrote a whole book of counseling for us. We shouldn't be scared of the Holy Spirit or stay away. I can see Jesus saying to Peter, Peter, can we talk for just a minute? Probably most nights. Peter, you did it again. Always wait a little while. You've had that talk from your board or your wife. Wait a little while before you say anything. That's a counselor. Peter, do you love me? Do you love me? And everybody has preached that and said three times for good reason. He's a counselor who brings us back. I have felt, as you have felt, his whisper in the scriptures or in my own heart, where he gives counsel. And sometimes I think, how did I think to say that? I don't know. I'm not spooky about it, but I think it's the Holy Spirit. Another one. You know, just the common word, I bet a couple of your translations have that. It's a good one, helper. Some gave up on bigger words and just said, he's our helper. Yep. You fished all night. Okay, put your nets on the other side. You tried this. You aren't really loving your people. How about telling them you love them and then showing it in more ways at your church if you're the pastor? He's our helper. And he gives us the courage to apologize and to start over, sometimes in marriage or in personal life. The Holy Spirit does what Jesus did. They get a little less Greek-oriented, but support. He was that for his disciples. Like, who did he choose? And they had to get his support. His most famous phrase almost was, fear not. And he gives us support. So when you think about the Holy Spirit, first think, look what Jesus has done for me. I don't think any disciples ever thought, as they thought about a day, I got to be with Jesus again. Neither should we ever have any fret about, I need to walk in the Spirit. One used, I only found it one place, was he's our sponsor. I like that one. When I go to heaven, I got nothing to say. Neither do you. Neither does Mike. We stand there, and if God says what James Kennedy thought he would say, evangelism explosion, why should I let you in? We just say, I'm with him. He's our sponsor. If you're in Alcoholics Anonymous, you have a sponsor. We have a sponsor in heaven. I think the disciples would say sometimes, boy, I would not have loved that guy, but he did. Did you see what he did to those lepers? Jesus, don't go to that woman. Do you know who she is? But they saw his love. I think they often said, he is so kind. Peter probably said 100 times to his friends, he forgave me again. They were not scared of Jesus in that sense. And when they were arguing, Peter, James, and John, you know the story, 3 times in the Bible, arguing as to which of them is the greatest, I think Jesus never answered. He just washed their feet when they got to the room. That's the answer. The Holy Spirit will do the same things in our lives. I didn't know much about the Holy Spirit, but I know he picked me up when my parents divorced. And he used my grandmother to teach me the scriptures and to teach me that I can trust him even then. I wasn't able to talk about the filling of the Holy Spirit in those days, but I know that when my sister died at age 14, he taught me to cry and taught me to try to help my parents who blamed it on each other and then on themselves because of the divorce. She died at my father's house on Father's Day. There would have been no father's house had they not divorced. I know it was the Holy Spirit who helped my grandmother teach my brother and me that we needed to become pastors and teach us the scriptures and the grace of God. She modeled it before Mother Teresa as she crossed the tracks in Harrisburg and the poverty lines and had Bible clubs and taught about Jesus. In 55 years as a pastor, the best things I have seen are the same good things you have seen. That people, whether they can say it or not, or whether they can define the Holy Spirit, they yield to the scriptures and obey him. He is like Jesus. I beg you to understand that much and to teach the scriptures about the Holy Spirit with some reminder that he's another counselor just like the other one, another paraclete just like Jesus. And not one of us would have run away from Jesus. Yes, people talk about him in weird ways as they do the Holy Spirit, but yes, he's the best friend we ever have, and we are so grateful. Take time. Do you do this? Take time to kneel or to pray in a special place and just thank God that you don't live alone. You live with a paraclete, with a walk, somebody who walks beside you all your life. If you're happily married, we have wonderful times together walking in the dunes and in some woods. I don't think, what if she says something now that puts me on the spot? No, when you're married and you deal with things on a daily basis, there's a bond and it's a paraclete for each other. You walk beside each other. The same with Jesus, who doesn't come in appearance. I guess he can anytime he wishes, but who comes to live with us by his Spirit. Do you believe that? Then rest in that and live that way. And at least some teach him that way, teach about who he is. Verse 17 says, he is the Spirit of truth. I'm not going to say much about this. Just look at it, how strong it is. The world is unable to receive him because it doesn't see him or know him, not with eyes of faith. They don't have eyes of faith. But you do know him because he remains with you and will be in you. Oh, that's what gets me through. That's what helps me apologize. Even when I don't feel like it, I read a verse or the Spirit speaks through a verse I memorized, or I have an impulse and he walks with you. He walks with me. There are only 4 commands. Go ahead and look them up. But I've, at least the way I see commands about the Holy Spirit, the Bible says, quench not the Spirit. Can I make it positive and just say, desire him? Well, you say, doesn't every Christian? Of course not. There are people that come to our churches who come just because it's a habit or to come to look good to somebody else or because their wife drags them. Desire the Holy Spirit. And when you sense you ought to say something, say it. Quench not the spirit. When you read something, don't say, well, I'm not reading that chapter again. A second command that's very clear is grieve not the spirit. I'll take them out of context gladly just to say, look them up sometime. Grieve not the spirit. But when you do, since we are sinners, confess your sins. I like to use P-R-A-Y when I pray privately. I teach it to groups. I did it every Sunday for 20-some years. P-R-A-Y, praise, repent. Take a moment of quiet confession. Grieve not the spirit means when you do, confess it. I love the story, Chicago Bears, just for a moment. They're a great middle linebacker. And Mike's eyes would be seen on the TV camera, and you think, how do they get that on a camera at the other end zone? And if I were the other quarterback, I'd say, Mike, look away. He'd stand there like this, and Jim Nance once interviewed him after a Chicago Bears game that I saw, and he said, Jim Nance said rather naively, sometimes you're blocked by two people, and yet you make the tackle over there. How do you do that? And Mike Singletary said, I get up. That was it. I get up. What do you do when you fail? When I fail as a Christian, get up. Confess it. Get on with it. He walks with you. A very clear command. You know this one too. Ephesians 5:18, be filled with the Spirit. Already explained in a good way today. I think another good way to see it is, let him fill every compartment of your life. Let's say life is a slice of pie. As well-known a person as Bill Clinton, when he was president, said, confessing his sin, I compartmentalized. My faith became a slice of the pie, but Jesus, the Lord, had nothing to do with the other areas. We all do that at times. Open up every area of life to the Holy Spirit. The guy you can't love, he's a chieftain in the church. He was there 30 years before you came. Open up your love channels to him and ask the Paraclete to walk with you every area of life. And a fourth command, of course, is obvious. Galatians 5, if you want to show the fruit of the Spirit, one time I asked a Christian school audience of grade school kids, how many steps did the Apostle Paul take at a time when he walked? Just the Apostle Paul. They were really thinking, it must be a trick question. I would think a chief apostle probably went two steps at a time. How many steps do you take at a time? One. Ask God's help. Do what's right. He will walk with you. No question. Do you believe all that? Are you willing to practice all that? To remove any fears of the Holy Spirit that were put there by somebody who yelled about him or said something spooky and say, I want to walk with Jesus Christ. One day, one of the hardest things I ever did, I had to ask one of my good friends on staff to leave. It just wasn't working. Long story. But I was so depressed after the time with him driving home, and I drove in Akron a longer way that went through a park where there was a river, small river, flowing through it. I was crying. I was doing a pity thing about myself and how hard it is. I didn't have the radio on. I decided I got to quit crying. I'm going home to a wife and two girls, teenagers. I'm going to show them I love them. And I hit the radio like that, and I heard this. There is a Redeemer. It was Keith Green, who was already in heaven, died in a plane crash, singing that song that he wrote. It wasn't instantaneous and it wasn't forever, but for that moment I thought, yep, I do church for Christ. I'm doing this because I want to do what's best for the church. There is a Redeemer, Jesus, God's own Son. Precious Lamb of God, Messiah. And he gives us his Spirit to walk beside us. Pray with me. God, thank you for the Holy Spirit. Help me never to be afraid of him. Help me not to make it so complicated I never study things. Help us help everyone in the room. Love him like we love Jesus and walk beside him. As you pray, just in a quiet moment, not out loud, just thank God. If God's Spirit has come to you because you believed and went to the cross, if you're not really sure of that, ask God to help you know what that means and to trust Christ in his way. Thank you, God, for Jesus, and I don't say it enough, thank you for your Spirit who lives within us and walks beside us and loves us. We pray in the name of the one who not only walked on water but built cabinets and lived where we live and walked dusty roads and lives with us, Jesus, our Savior. Amen. It's a prayer. There is a Redeemer, Jesus, God's own Son. Let's sing it with thanksgiving for the Holy Spirit as we come to that part of the verse, just in devotion and thanks. Let's stand. Thank you. Let's pray. Now unto him who is able to keep us from falling. Lord, I pray that not one of us in this room will fall away from you. Now unto him who walks beside us through his Spirit, be glory and majesty through Jesus Christ our Lord, both now and forever and ever and ever. Amen. Go in his grace. Thank you.